let's start with a word of prayer.
Thank you, Jesus, for bringing us together tonight. Thank you for this hour that we have. We offer it to you to do with what you will. I pray that we can see your power to heal in our lives tonight. Amen.
Amen. I wanted to start by quoting Psalm 147, verse 3. The Lord helps the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. I think that most of us recognize quite clearly in our own lives our need for healing, inner healing. I was trying to think of a few things from my own life, reasons I know I need healing, and I know that in relationships it's real hard to be honest. I know it's easy to feel slighted, unappreciated or blamed for things. I know it's easy to feel guilty for things that are out of my control. Some people find it easy to feel abandoned. And I think some of us have even felt the self-consciousness that paralyzes us. Jesus asked us to respond to the world and in the world as children, but oftentimes we discover in ourselves that we react like in a childish way rather than in a healthy way. So I think we all know that we have been hurt by others and we have experiences that have hurt us. Last week in text study, the scripture reminded me of the fact that I've struggled a lot with fear in my life. And I shared a little bit about that. And the next time I was sitting with June, she said, "I'm so surprised to hear you say that, because if I was going to rank the people in the village that I thought were the most plagued with fear, you wouldn't have even been on the list." And so I was really happy to hear that, because to me it's a testimony to what God has done in my life, the healing that He's brought. And I think that because I still sense a lot of fear in my life, I know that it's a process. Healing is a process. But it is something that God does in our lives. But I think it's something that we can cooperate with God on. And we can learn how to appropriate the healing power of God in our lives. And so Henry and I would like to share a little bit about what we know as inner healing. And sometimes it's called soul healing. And I want to start by drawing a model of the human being. That's a pipeline. And it's a human being. You might not believe it. But human beings are spirit. P-I-R. How many I's are in it?
Just two.
Okay, spirit. And the spirit, with our spirits, we fellowship with God and we commune with God. Okay? And then we're also soul or psyche. And our souls as our intellect, our wills, our emotions, our conscious and subconscious. Okay, it's our sort of our inner being. And then we're also body. And I like to, this is our contact with God, and this is our contact with the world and with other people. And so all of us have had things that have happened to us, it's affected us completely in our spirit, our soul, and our body, whatever it is that's happened to us. And a lot of those things that have happened to us aren't good things. And so we've had some negative effects on our being. We usually respond to the world from our souls, either with our intellect or our emotions, or just our basic personality. We respond to that. And if our emotions, if our soul is damaged, then our response to the world is going to be damaged. It's not going to be completely healthy. And I like this image of the person as a pipeline, because especially for Christians, we're called to be a channel of God's love to the world. And so this, if this is completely open, then God's love pours out into the world. And if it's blocked up because of the damaging walls that we've built up because of pain, then God's love doesn't reach out to the world. So I like that model. It's just a model. And the other day, Heidi was showing us another model of the Star of David, which is a really good one too, of the human, which takes in a lot of this. So I don't want you to think that's a hard and fast, you know, picture of a human being, but I think it's pretty good because it shows us that we're spirit, soul, and body, and that everything that happens affects us and can hinder that flow of God's love into the world. So that's the introduction. And Henry's going to say a little bit about inner healing prayer, and then we're going to each give an example of it in our life, and then hopefully we're planning on having a time for a couple of group prayers at the end. And then if we have any questions or whatever after that.
First of all, in order to understand soul healing prayer or inner healing prayer, one thing we need to realize is that Jesus is present and active in a very concrete way in this world. And with our permission, he can be present and active deep in our souls as well. The Gospels show that Jesus' primary activity is healing. I think it was just last Sunday, if I'm not mistaken, we read from the 4th chapter of Matthew. Part of the passage we read was about how Jesus went to all the towns in Galilee and the Decapolis, healing people and curing every disease and infirmity that he came up against. I would say that every encounter that we have with Jesus is healing. That's certainly been my experience, and I know other people who know the same thing. Now, there are two sort of foundational facts that on which the practice of soul healing rests. The first one is that God is unconditional love. God wants us to be whole persons and is willing and also able to heal us. The second fact is that Jesus has been with us during every moment of our lives, whether we were aware of it or not. And because he knows what has happened to us, he knows what needs to be healed. Now, inner healing prayer is essentially allowing Jesus access to those hurt places in our souls so that he can heal them. It's an encounter with Jesus in exactly those places where we need to be healed. Now, one thing that he won't do is to interfere with us against our will. We need to allow him access to ourselves. But this really isn't always easy, because sometimes the defenses that we put up against injuries that we have received end up also being defenses against God. I think this is one reason why inner healing often happens in stages. One healing will open the way for another when we've uncovered another spot that God can now get into. Now, the way we're familiar with praying for soul healing is not the only way that people pray or the only way that they can, but it is one that we're familiar with, and we're going to practice a little bit of it tonight. But the first thing that we do is to ask the Holy Spirit to bring up a memory of something that's happened to us that needs to be healed. Then we try as best we can to visualize the scene as it happened, remembering what the place was like, what the people were like, what they looked like, what they did. And then we'll invite Jesus to be part of that scene. Since he was there, as a matter of fact, he can appear in our memory of what happened. And even if it's impossible for somebody to see him in their mind's eye as being there, often it's possible to sense his presence in the scene. And that also accomplishes the same thing. And then the important part of it is to let him be in charge of what's happening as you remember the scene. Sometimes he'll change the way you remember the scene, not so much as to change what happened as to change the way it affects you. The thing to do is to watch what he does and to listen to what he says. Very often, perhaps the most important thing to be done to accomplish a healing of a memory of something like this is for us to forgive people who have hurt us, and also to ask forgiveness when our reaction to the incident or whatever it was has been wrong. In my own experience, speaking forgiveness and receiving it has been the thing that has broken the hold that some incidents have had on my life. If, as is often the case, you are praying about something that happened to you as a child, it seems really to help to forgive people in prayer as you were when the incident occurred. In other words, to forgive them as that child that was hurt. Even if you already did forgive people later when you became an adult. One word of caution, it's really important for us not to go simply digging around in our memories and our subconscious, but rather to pray that the Holy Spirit will bring up the memory that is best dealt with at the time, and to let him do it. I found that God is very gentle and won't ask any of us to bear more than we can. Do you want to tell your story first, Teresa?
Sure. Well, we thought we'd, rather than just talking about it, sort of say something about it as it's related to us. I wish I could remember where I was when this healing happened for me. I'm not sure if it was in a group setting like this or if it was with one other person. Henry doesn't remember it. So anyway, so I don't know if it was a person who was directing me individually or if it was in a group. But I, in prayer, remembered something that happened to me when I was in first grade. And I guess I should back up and say, I'd already mentioned a little bit about how pervasive fear has been in my life, especially as a child. But part of that was specifically attached to school and being dreadfully afraid of the people at school and the teachers and anything to do with homework or responding in class or being there. So I'd sort of wall up a little bit and be real insular and even to the point of not even being able to write during tests, just having my whole hands go numb, and just it had, of course, had a dreadful effect on my academic work and just my whole attitude towards school. And that fear sort of changed its manifestation as I grew older, but it's been there. And but anyway, I was in prayer, and the Lord reminded me of this thing that had happened on the first day of school in first grade, the first day in a new school. I'd spent the first half of the year at a public school, and Christmas was over, and I was going to the Catholic school. And it was the first day at that school, and it was the first class of the day, which was religion. And I remember it being the first question that the teacher said was, she pointed to the picture of the Last Supper, and she said, "Who can tell me who's John?" And I remember being real excited about being at school, real excited about being in a new school, real excited about being in that school, real excited about being able to have religion in, you know, take a religion class in school. And I was so excited about being there, I thought, I know, I can make a good guess. And I raised my hand real fast to hopefully be the first one that she called on. And I hadn't had a religion class in my life, so I mean, I didn't have any basis to have any confidence about how I would do in responding to this question. And I didn't know the answer to the question, but I thought I could figure it out. And I look, and I remember that picture of what I was like, and it's so contrary to what it was like for me later, like in second grade and third grade, the things I remember are quite different. But what happened was, the teacher asked, "Who's John? Who can come up here and point out who's John?" And I was on my way, she called on me, on my way up there, I thought, well, John's got to be real important, and so he's got to be somebody that really stands out, and I know who Jesus is, and it can't be Jesus, and all those people are hanging around Jesus, and there's one, this one sort of shady character off to the side, sort of looking over shoulder at the back of the group, and he looks, well, he's awfully important, I can tell he's important, so I'm going to guess him. And I guess Judas. And the whole class roared, and I was totally crushed. I was totally, totally crushed. I couldn't believe how crushed I was. And I think, and I know that that event there in that first day of school really did affect me, and it affected my response to school and my, just the rest of my whole academic career. But as we were praying, and I was imagining, I was visualizing this, remembering what had happened, whoever was leading said, "Now I'd like you to see, if you can, picture where Jesus is in this scene." And I saw, in my mind's eye, Jesus walk into the front of that classroom. And in that classroom, we had a seat up in the front. It was sort of like a dunce seat, except you got to go sit there if you were making trouble, and you needed to be separated from the people you were making trouble with, and so you'd go sit in that special seat in the front until you'd sort of calm down, sort of like time out. And Jesus walked in, and he sat on that seat in my mind, and everyone in the classroom sort of noticed that Jesus was there, and the teacher noticed, and everyone sort of waited to see what he would do, and the teacher said, "Is there anything we can do for you, Jesus?" And Jesus said, I just came to see Teresa, my friend. I came to see how she's doing. And so everyone's attention was sort of on me, and I walked up to the front, and I climbed up in his lap, and he just began to love me and began to say things like, "That was such a good answer you gave, because I know you were, you know, it was a good answer because you were making a good guess." And he began to explain to me who John was. John was the disciple he loved, who was laying on his shoulder there in the picture. And he said, in my mind, he said, "The disciple that I loved, who loved me just like you love me." And the neat thing about the healing that was happening for me was that Jesus was talking to me, but he was also talking to the teacher and to the class and to all the people in the class, building me up. And I was being built up in their eyes. They were no longer ridiculing me, but they were looking up to me and as being a friend of Jesus. And so as the prayer, as the meditation was ending and I was coming back to say amen to the prayer, whatever, I realized that, well, I didn't really know, I don't know that I realized anything. I just knew that I'd been healed of that memory, so that that painful event that happened in my life that really did influence my life was being changed in my memory, so that I don't look at that event that happened to me and think of how horrible it was and how horrible I felt as that little girl. But I remember sitting there on Jesus' lap, which is, it didn't change what happened, but it changed my attitude about what happened there. And so I was healed. And I just remembered one more thing, is that in the meditation that I was guided through, it was whoever it was said, now I'd like you to forgive all those classmates. And so I spoke forgiveness to them. I forgive you because I know you didn't mean to laugh at me. And then in the classroom said, we're sorry. And so that was over. I mean, that was the soul healing that I wanted to share.
I have one to talk about that's, well, it's still rather hard for me to talk about it because I think that this is a healing that's in process for me. It's begun not too long ago, and I can see that there's more to come yet, but I can tell you about the part of the healing that I've received. When I was 5 years old, my 7-year-old sister drowned. And I remember for quite a few years, I thought that, you know, later on, I didn't really remember Karen very well at all. And I really thought that at the time I'd been too young to have been affected seriously by her death. But I've begun to realize that that was something that really hurt me a great deal. And I've begun to be able to remember some things about it that I never could remember before. And I think that's always a good sign that God wants to heal something in your past when you begin to remember it. As it happened, all the rest of our family was probably about 1,000 miles away when she died. She was staying with my uncle and aunt in Minnesota, and we were all the way out in Montana at a national park. And I can remember when we found out, because they had to call the park on the telephone, and then some poor ranger had to drive around to the campground and find us and tell us. And I remember that I could, that when we found out, I knew that something was really terribly wrong. And I think of course, everybody was crying, and so was I. And all the farther that I've gotten in that scene is just remembering myself sitting over on the picnic table in this campground, and I was crying. This is just the time, I think, before my mom noticed me and she came over. But when I prayed about this with Teresa, what happened in my memory while I was sitting at the picnic table was Jesus came and sat down beside me. And he didn't say anything to me. But he sat there and he put his arms around me and he cried too. And I realized that that I've blamed a lot of people for losing my sister. I think it's just now starting to dawn on me that I probably blame my parents. And I know that I blame God. I was really angry. And I think that really affected my ability to relate to God, because it made me sort of afraid of him, because I was afraid of what the next thing that he might do, because I thought that he was responsible for it. But just the fact that when I think about that now, I realize that Jesus was sad too. He was crying along with me. Is really beginning to change that memory for me. And I've already noticed, I think this was just about a month ago or so now that we prayed about this. And already I've really noticed in myself, it's easier for me to trust God, and it's easier for me to believe that God loves me. And I hadn't really noticed that, even noticed that I was having that difficulty, but now I realize that I did, and that it's going away. And I'm really looking forward to the healing that I will receive for the rest of the memories that I have about Karin's death.
We thought that the next thing we could do would be to practice this kind of healing prayer. And I was trying to think back to the very first time that I had heard about it and experienced it, and so I'm copying a little bit out of my memory what the guided meditation that I was, the prayer that I was led through. So if there's no objections to this, I'd like us all to relax and maybe put our feet on the ground and sit up straight, the blood flow through your body in unobstructed ways. Let's close our eyes. Let's just take a couple of deep breaths. Breathe in and then breathe out all of the tension of the day. Breathe in the love of God. And breathe out all the tension. Now I'd like you to let the Holy Spirit remind you of a real good memory that you had in childhood. Something that happened to you that was a joyful experience. How old were you? Can you remember what you were wearing? Where were you? Were you outdoors or were you indoors? If you were indoors, what was the furnishing like? Was there wallpaper? Or were the walls painted? If you were outdoors, what was the weather like? Try to remember all of the details that you can about this good memory that you have. What is it that makes it a good memory? Are there people there? What are they doing? What activities are you involved in? Remember all that you can and rest in the joy and warmth of that memory. Now I would like you to invite Jesus to come into your scene. He's been there all along, although you might not have been aware of him. Can you sense his presence? See him there with you. How does he appear to you? What is Jesus doing? Does he have anything to say to you or to anyone in your memory?